Hey, what's going on? It's Jeremy from the Frame Mind podcast. This is my triumphant return after, like, I don't know, 2.5 year hiatus from doing podcasts because life got busy, private practice got busy, so forth. So I appreciate you giving us a check out and look at things to come as I continue the effort to kind of share information and hopefully be a little source of support and information for people that are just wanting to learn about themselves or different aspects of mental health and how it affects them. Any support you can give is totally appreciated. That simple like, share, all that usual, you know, follow BS. But take us in. Hopefully it helps you and gives you some better ideas and understanding of these perspectives. So without further ado, let's jump into today's topic. Busy BS, hustle culture, and toxic perfectionism. I love talking about current real world things and considerations that we're going through that also have a deeper seated connection into our own mental health. So this is a pretty cool topic area to get into and kind of, you know, pick apart and dissect and give you a different perspective on it. You don't have to agree. It's totally cool. That's what's great about us as humans. We don't always have to agree. Not a problem. I share this perspective as some of my own personal take and use of mental health to kind of bring awareness to how hustle culture and toxic perfectionism can affect you. And also for some people, you might even know that you're a perfectionist because you don't identify as it. So we're going to break this down as we go through this topic. You can always stop, highlight, comment, all that jazz, whatever you need. Always feel free to reach out if you have questions as well. So first off, what does hustling look like to you? In the framework of hustle culture, what do you imagine when you think of somebody hustling? Do you have a picture in your mind? Is it somebody, you know, at work that's always trying to get things done, working the extra hours, grinding or whatever? So go ahead and think about your perspective on that and what you see as you kind of visualize it. Here's what I see. Yes. That's what's in my head when I have people tell me they hustle. I think about NFTs, Bitcoin brokers. I think about Mickey Mouse with a chain, a stack of cash, wearing a fresh pair of Jordans. I don't know why. Maybe I'm an overgrown 9-year-old, but that's what I visualize. I sometimes can feel a little funny about it because it's interesting when people get so consumed with the appearance of doing well, the appearance and persona of quote unquote hustling. So this is the difference between hustling and hustle culture that we got to understand too. Hustling in the terms of hustle culture kind of glorifies the idea that to, you know, make money, be successful, et cetera, you got to do all this above and beyond kind of stuff, as opposed to it being more grounded in your own reality and what you have the ability to do. So what's our purpose for hustling? A lot of times people tell me, oh, you know, we got to hustle, you got to do this, you got to get by. And sometimes we kind of goes back to our own mentality that we've learned and our own like perception of how things are done and done well. So first off, who and or what taught us to hustle? Was it a family member? Was it a worker, coworker, friend? Was it a boss that we had? Was it someone who reached out to us and told us how amazing it was that they were selling digital products on Amazon and they're making $20,000 a month? Yeah, that happens sometimes. Even to therapists, they reach out for you. How does it affect you? What does it make you feel? Where's your sense of self-worth inside of that? So when I hear the word hustle in this hustle culture perspective, I think about like we're basically personifying it's good to struggle to survive. Like, how has that really been helpful? If you're making money, you're doing these things, has it been beneficial for other areas of your life? Because we fixate on one area like work. How are we doing with family? How are we doing with self? How are we doing with judging the reality that we live in versus what we're trying to create? What pressure and expectations are placed on us? Wow, think about that. We place expectations on ourself with this sense of make or break, all or nothing, this has got to be it, value. And sometimes we may hustle and quote unquote be successful, but does that last and for how long? So this is what I love about hustling. I get told all the time about some relative purpose that it has, right? And so here's the deal. Hustling might have purpose, but it can absolutely lack intention. Here's my example. If you can't see this slide, this is true from my own LinkedIn outreach that I receive. Hi, insert name. I'd like to add you to my network. I see that we both enjoy insert corporate broad speak, and you do great work at insert most recent company on your profile. When would be a good time this week to schedule a call from random LinkedIn contact? Yeah, I don't know if some of you have LinkedIn, or also known as business Facebook, but sometimes it's kind of fun to see the algorithms that get generated and the programs people use to reach out to you. It's cold. It doesn't feel human. It feels like it's very generic and broad seeking. So it's like shooting fish in a barrel and hoping for the best. That's how it comes off. Without intention connecting to our purpose, we lose sense of our authenticity. So if you're not familiar with the idea of authenticity other than like a Rolex watch, here's what we talk about in mental health. Authenticity is a deeper seated connection to who we truly are. That voice that exists inside of you, that self that is trying to get out and be more available, the real you, not the perception or persona you want to be seen for or you feel that you will be most acceptable as, but the best version of self. Your authenticity really helps connect with your engagement. So be human, be real, be you. It's super cool. That's a quote from a therapist person who may also be the person talking right now. So kind of sliding over to toxic perfectionism. Here's a cool way of looking at this. First off, if you can't see the slide, toxic perfectionism is on here. And yes, I purposely left the ism intentionally left dangling for those who are perfectionists when it comes to design. So here's the deal. You know what? Mom always told me I'd be number one, right? We carry this attitude that we have to be number one at everything all the time, but then we don't really understand, like, we can't always be number one, and that's absolutely okay. Perfectionism isn't necessarily about being perfect. So as we dive into it, we're going to learn how we could experience it, but also realize that we're not always seeking it all the time. So is it 100% perfect all the time for you? And is that something you judge yourself against? So some people may say it's possibly 100% perfect. Others may not. And they disagree and then give little anecdotal things like, oh, well, you could do really well, but you could always do better, et cetera. But like, let's say if you are at 100% perfect, how long can that last? Is it sustainable for a day, a week, a month, a year, the rest of your life? I mean, that's a lot to go on because there's a lot of other things called, I don't know, reality, circumstances, life, situations, changes, et cetera, that can occur and absolutely be an effect on what we do in this quest for perfectionism. So here's something I talk with clients about. When you put yourself at 100% or 1,000% or whatever mystical percentage you like to quote to yourself, you are focused on your capabilities. So capabilities in this sense is you at all stakes, everything in mental, physical, emotional, whatever it is, you're emphasizing it beyond perfect. You're doing as much as you absolutely can. So think about if we're driving down the highway, right? I live in Dallas. We have lots of traffic. So if you're getting on the highway and there's traffic coming up because you know it's rush hour, but you're going 120 because that's your foot all the way down on the gas, you may get around traffic. You may weave in and out, but eventually you may also have a catastrophic accident. Point being is that's you pushing it to the limit, full throttle all the way, all the time. Also, on top of that, if you miraculously make it in this example through that traffic flow, then eventually you're going to run out of gas. Or if you're fancy and have a Tesla, you're going to run out of battery because it's not sustainable. You have to recharge. We have to refuel. Okay. So that's your capabilities. Now we're going to get into what once you refer to as your abilities. Abilities is looking at the reality which you're currently existing and connecting with how do I accomplish to the best of my ability right now. Hey, if I'm at work and I'm trying to do some awesome presentation, but I'm feeling emotionally withdrawn or for some reason, I may not really be at my best. Or if I'm trying to do a new one rep maximum at the gym, but I haven't been eating well, hey, I might not have the caloric intake I need to support that effort. That's my abilities. I have to adjust my expectations on self through a sense of awareness in reality that I exist in. So therapy person, what the hell is perfectionism, right? Here, let me give you a little breakdown. Perfectionism, this is what it involves. It's this relentless striving for extremely high standards for yourself and or others. So let's keying on that for a second, relentlessly striving for extremely high standards for self. So sometimes insert the idea of self-judgment that we put on ourselves with that, or for others. Because sometimes what's interesting in this phenomenon we see in therapy is people will have high expectations and standards of themselves at places like work and performing above and beyond. But then sometimes in places like relationships, especially intimate relationships, you may have this high standard that you either say it out loud or you have it exist in your head directed at your partner or spouse. It's pretty jacked up if you think about it. So those can be personally demanding and they can be a lot on the individual. So from an outside perspective, if somebody else heard us talking about this high standards that we put on ourselves or somebody else, they would probably think it was an unreasonable given the circumstances, because they would be, again, assessing through a wider lens. They'd be seeing the reality that they're existing in and what you're trying to tell them that your expectations are for yourself or for another person. Judging your self-worth is largely based on your ability to strive for and achieve such unrelenting standards. Ooh, that's a hard one to hear. Judging your self-worth is based largely on your ability to strive for and achieve such unrelenting standards. You are building out your sense of worth and livelihood based off of achieving high standards and unrelenting expectations, right? So experiencing negative consequences of setting such demanding standards, yet you continue to go for them despite the huge cost to you. That could be financial, it could be emotional, it could be relationships, it could be physical, and so many other things. So here's the paradox of perfectionism. Many people will actually praise perfectionism as something positive. It's often, it gets linked to excellence and setting a high standard and quote unquote, air quotes here, working hard. Here's what I like to use as an example when I talk about the paradox of perfectionism. Ever been at work? Maybe it's a new job or your current job, and you get praised for going above and beyond, putting in the extra hours, getting all these things done. You're the quote unquote go-to person. So yeah, a lack of a better term, the non-clinical speak of it that I tell people is kind of like what we call golden child syndrome. You get uplifted and you get given kudos and praise and Slack, you know, messaging rewards if you have to deal with that. And you get told, hey, you're doing amazing. You're such a fantastic worker. This is so great. We're so dependent on you. You are an integral member of the team, et cetera. So it uplifts you and it tells you to keep doing this and keep doing more. But also there's an unspoken phenomenon that occurs where the other people that are at your level see you as the go-to person. So they may be not as engaged to take on opportunities like you, but also those that keep coming to you and making you be the reliable gold standard are going to be so dependent on you that what's in your actual position, your description, your actual job that you applied for versus what reality you're doing is much different. So there's disproportionate reality occurring. So you're doing way more than what you should internally have to be going through. And it has an effect on you. If you're working 12-hour days when you're supposed to be working an 8-hour day, yeah, that's taken away from your personal time, family time, etc. People have the reasons to be perfectionists. Efficiency feels like you're being effective and efficient, organized, always on track, and prepared for anything. High standards and goals might help achievement, but they can also get in the way of your own happiness, and they can literally impair your performance. Hence the paradox. So here's some of those pitfalls that we can experience with perfectionism. It's an excessive drive to achieve ever higher performance. And sometimes that is self-defeating as it happens to give us little chance for meeting your goals and feeling good about yourself. So you may meet your goals, but then you're completely emotionally drained. And then you go into sometimes what we call negativity bias, and you start trying to discern, oh, what could have been better? Anybody ever do that? You immediately accomplish a goal, and then the first thought process you go through is, oh, I should have done this. I could have done that. Yeah, that's a this should have, could have, would have dance. Here's a great way to remember it from a therapeutic perspective. Don't should all over the place because it makes a mess. What happens when you set a high goal and you don't reach it? Do you say, oh, you know what? That was really high and that may have been a little unrealistic. I'm going to reset and analyze my own boundaries on self and make sure that I don't judge myself. Or do you do the latter and you say, well, why'd I even try? I did everything right and I still couldn't get it. Or, oh, well, I really screwed that up. a lot of times, again, that goes back to our sense of self-worth and self-judgment being these things that we put as a pressure cooker on ourselves, and we just keep intensifying the heat and the pressure keeps building, and we tell ourselves, well, you should have, could have, would have done better, oh well, you're a mess up, and then we give up on future opportunities, or we don't appreciate and acknowledge the growth that we had while working towards those things that we wanted to accomplish. The impact on that self-worth and your well-being is an important area to keep monitoring and assessing, because that keeps you, again, connected to your true self. With the pitfalls of perfectionism, it could potentially lead to frustration, which makes you more agitated and less interactive and less emotionally available in other places like relationships, give you excessive worry, anxiety, could pull you into a sense of isolation where you pull back from friends and activities. It could increase signs of depression. And also it gives you an overarching sense of failure. What that means, an overarching sense of failure, is where you are predicting that things won't go well, or they're not even worth trying at times. So you have this quote unquote doom and gloom catastrophizing way of looking at things. I'm not always a perfectionist, right? Well, yeah, that's true. Perfectionism isn't necessarily that you have unrelentingly high standards in every facet of life. You can experience it in one area, example being work, but not in another area, example being fashion. There you go. Areas in life where, you know, perfectionism may flare up. It's just a couple examples: work, study, housework, cleaning, close relationships, eating, weight, shape of your body, grooming, personal hygiene, sports, health, fitness. So how am I a perfectionist, right? Because a lot of times when we hear the word perfectionist, we think of somebody who, you know, laser lines, they're stationary, okay? Common types of perfectionistic behavior include struggling to make decisions in a timely manner. Also, like an example being not able to decide what to wear to work each morning, right? Reassurance seeking. So like asking others to check your work to ensure it is acceptable, even if it's something you know you did right or you do often. Excessive organizing and list making, repeatedly writing and rewriting lists to the of tasks you want to get done in the day. You ever create a list, then you create another list because you forgot that list, and then you create a list about how you're going to remember your list. Anyway, I digress. Giving up easily. So you started taking salsa dancing lessons, and after two lessons, you gave up because you can't keep up with the teacher. Yeah, nobody can, right? Unless you're some kind of prodigy salsa dancer. I am not. Procrastinating. Here's a fun one. Procrastination. The next time you get reminded through yourself or someone else that you're a procrastinator, you can actually kindly respond to yourself or that person, thank you so much, I'm working through my perfectionism. So yeah, procrastinating is putting off starting an assignment for the fear it won't be good enough, or we put something off and delay it because we're wanting to have it be the best that it can, and we actually avoid the work, avoid putting effort into it, and we enter a sense of ambivalence about the work we know we need to do. So also sometimes that could lead to a sense of what we call analysis paralysis, and so you have it in your head of, oh, I know I need to do this, I know I need to do that, but I just can't. And it's this weird phenomenon where you see what you need to accomplish, but you will not enact the actual action steps to get the stuff done. Not knowing when to stop. You argue a point over and over long after others have lost interest. Sometimes we could talk about a family member, we could talk about a coworker, or we have to be honest, and it could be our own selves where we fall into that. Checking, repeatedly looking in the mirror for blemishes in the face, repeatedly looking at documents that have already been signed off, approved, and reviewed, etc. Hoarding, yes, that's actually an aspect of perfectionism. Keeping bank statements for the last 20 years, just in case you might need them, okay? Slowness, speaking slowly to ensure you say the right thing. Oh, yeah, I purposely slowed down there. Slowly actually connecting with your words to others. So sometimes we'll see this where our words slow down. So we're kind of trying to assess our word choices based off the reactions of the other person, or we're like waiting for someone to extract information from us. And it's more of us just having to give simpler responses, yeses and nos, as they question things and we react or respond to them. Avoiding situations which you may quote unquote fail. So in other words, not applying for a job that for fear that you won't be able to get it. Oh, that job sounds amazing. It's like my dream job, but you know what? I won't have a chance. So you literally don't apply. How do we overcome your perfectionism? Here's a couple of examples. And some of these may seem like, well, duh, Jeremy, this is easy, but some of them may seem a little more insightful and kind of give them a chance to like really put these ideas and thoughts into your own words. So first off, stay positive. Try to spend more time acknowledging and actively thinking about the parts of yourself to find good and make them good enough and make your sense of worth be that you are worthy. Make a list of things that you like about yourself and read it often. So sometimes when we go into the mindfulness aspects of mental health journeys, we talk about mantras and like those can be super helpful. And that's something to think about. And sometimes mantra could be a repetition of a thought, a words, etc. You can create them, you can have them assigned, etc. But these could be super helpful things to re-encourage you. And it literally helps you have more positive thinking. Attack and release method. So pay attention to those quote unquote all or nothing thoughts. And being the best at everything is not required to receive love and support from your friends and family. Acknowledge those thoughts, but don't dwell on them. Watch and learn. Observe how we can create imperfect work. This is a fun one. Most people are able to accept their actions as good enough and they move on. Ask yourself, like, hey, are the consequences of acceptance so negative? Because a lot of times, I don't know if you've ever done it, but like I love making barbecue and I get very, very, you know, particular about making sure it's good enough because in Texas, it's kind of a, you know, religious experience. And so, hey, I want to make my barbecue the best I can. And so like I have a knowledge of my consistency and how I want the flavor to be, the brisket and all that fun stuff. And others, they're just expecting good food. And if the brisket tastes good, they're happy. Other areas, prioritize. So prioritize, actively try to weed out what is really important and crucial to get done versus what isn't. So like skipping more trivial and detail-oriented tasks like extensive list making or small organizational activities so you can get those bigger priorities done at times. Cost-benefit analysis. Think about what you're sacrificing to satisfy your perfectionism. Ooh, this one gets really introspective. Is it your social life, personal relaxation time, your own sanity? Are you the perceived benefits of your perfectionism actually worth it? Practice the anti-perfectionist strategy. This is a really cool one and it's super simple to follow. So really hear this one out. Psychiatrist and behavioral scientist, Professor David Burns, he developed this 4-step process to challenging perfectionistic ideas. And it's easy to remember as the RACE acronym. Okay. R, recognize perfectionist ideals that like all or nothing thinking, fixation and control seeking. A, aiming for perfection. Instead, look at for other goals to achieve. C, check for underlying fears like the fear of failure or judgment. And E, expose yourself to the fear and let it go, or also known as ELSA that. So things we do with the RACE method can be super helpful because this is something that we can make a process for ourselves. When you get to a place in your own journey where you actually can politely and kindly question some of those stuck thoughts and that, oh, I'm always this, I'm always that judgment. It's super rewarding and helpful, and it helps you have a better experience. So I appreciate you guys hanging in there with me and going over the hustle culture and toxic perfectionism and how it affects us, what are signs of it, and how are ways to overcome it. Feel free to reach out if you have any questions, and I look forward to following up with more info. Have a great day. Thanks.